Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading. Could you turn the volume up a little bit? From Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila Chapter 8. Very elevated subject. Talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Text 275. Lord Chaitanya is speaking. Sarvabhuteshu yat pashyat bhagavat bhavanam atmanaha bhutani bhagavat yatmani esha bhagavato tamaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. A person advanced in devotional service, sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he also sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. That's text 275. 276, translation. The plants, this is a quote from Canto 10, Chapter 35. The plants, creepers, and trees were full of fruits and flowers due to ecstatic love for Krishna. Indeed, being so full, they were bowing down. They were inspired by such deep love for Krishna that they were constantly pouring showers of honey. In this way, the gopis saw all the forests of Vrindavan. Purport. This verse, Bhagavatam 10.35.9, is one of the songs of the gopis sung during Krishna's absence. In Krishna's absence, the gopis were always absorbed in thoughts of him. Similarly, the Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee of Krishna, sees everything as potentially serving the Lord. Sri Rupa Goswami states, Rapanchakataya buddhyahari sambandhi vastuna Vamukshubhi Prithyago Vairagyam Palgu Katyate Bhakti Rasarmita Sindhu 1:2:126. The advanced devotee does not see anything as unconnected with Krishna. Unlike the Mayavadi philosophers, a devotee does not see the material world as false because he knows that everything in the material world is connected to Krishna. A devotee knows how to utilize everything in the service of the Lord, and this is characteristic of the Mahabhagavata. The gopis saw the plants, creepers, and forest trees loaded with fruits and flowers and ready to serve Krishna. In this way, they immediately remembered their worshipable Lord Sri Krishna. They did not simply see plants, creepers, and trees the way a mundaner sees them. Mahaprabhu continues. My dear Rai, you are an advanced devotee and you are always filled with ecstatic love for Radha and Krishna. Therefore, whatever you see, anywhere and everywhere, simply awakens your Krishna consciousness. Ramananda Roy replied, "My dear Lord, please give up all these serious talks. Please do not conceal your real form from me. My dear Lord, I can understand that you have assumed the ecstasy and bodily complexion of Srimati Radharani. By accepting this, you are tasting your own personal transcendental humor and have therefore appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, you have descended in this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya for your own personal reasons. You have come to taste your own spiritual bliss. And at the same time, you are transforming the whole world by spreading the ecstasy of love of Godhead. My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, you have appeared before me to grant me liberation. Now, you are playing in a duplicitous way. What is the reason for this behavior? Lord Sri Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and Srimati Radharani is the personification of ecstatic lover of Godhead. These two forms had combined as one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This being the case, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his real form to Ramananda Roy. Purport. This is described as Radha Bhava Jyoti Subhalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupam. Lord Sri Krishna was absorbed in the features of Srimati Radharani. This was disclosed to Ramananda Roy when he saw Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. An advanced devotee can understand Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being a combination of Radha and Krishna, is non-different from Radha Krishna combined. This is explained by Surup Namadar Goswami, and then this quote from Adi Lila, chapter 1, text 5. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritin Ladini Shaktira Smat Ekat Manava Pi Bhuvi Pura Deha Bedam Katao Tao Chaitanyakyam Prakritam Adhuna Tad Dvayam Chaikimaptam Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. Radha Krishna is one. Radha Krishna is Krishna and Krishna's pleasure potency combined. When Krishna exhibits his pleasure potency, he appears to be two, Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, Radha and Krishna are one. This oneness may be perceived by advanced devotees to the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the case with Ramananda Roy. One may aspire to attain such a position, but one should not try to imitate the Maha Bhagavata. So that's the verse saying Lord Chaitanya showed simultaneously, here is his form of Lord Chaitanya, and simultaneously the form of Radha and Krishna. Upon seeing this form, Ramananda Roy lost consciousness in transcendental bliss. Unable to remain standing, he fell to the ground. When Ramananda Roy fell to the ground unconscious, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched his hand and immediately regained consciousness. But when he saw Lord Chaitanya in the dress of a sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. After embracing Ramananda Roy, the Lord pacified him, informing him, "But for you, no one has ever seen this form." Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Lord Krishna states, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrataha mudhoyam nabhijanati loko mam ajam avyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent, for them I am covered by my internal potency, Yogamaya, and so they do not know me, who am unborn and infallible. Paragraph. The Lord always reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. The devotees, however, are always engaged in the service of the Lord, serving with the tongue by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and tasting Mahaprasadam. Gradually, the sincere devotee pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Lord reveals himself. One cannot see the Supreme Lord by making personal efforts. Rather, when the Lord is pleased by the service of a devotee, he reveals himself. Read just three more verses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed, all the truths about my pastimes and mellows are within your knowledge. Therefore, I have shown this form to you. Next text. Actually, my body does not have a fair complexion. It only appears so because it has touched the body of Srimati Radharani. However, she does not touch anyone but the son of Nanda Maharaj. I have now converted my body and mind into the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. Thus, I am tasting my own personal sweetness in that form. Pretty amazing. Purport. Guru Sundara here informed Sri Ramananda Roy, quote, my dear Ramananda Roy, you are actually seeing a separate person with a fair complexioned body. Actually, I'm not fair. Being Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, I am blackish. But when I come in touch with Srimati Radharani, I become fair complexioned externally. Srimati Radharani does not touch the body of anyone but Krishna. I have my own transcendental features. By accepting the complexion of Srimati Radharani, without Radharani, one cannot taste the transcendental pleasure of Krishna's conjugal love. Unquote. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on the Prakrita Sahajiya Sampradaya, which considers Krishna and Lord Chaitanya to possess different bodies. They misinterpret the word Gora Anga Nahi more in text 287, just before the text that we're reading. From that verse and the present verse, we can understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. Both are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Krishna. The Lord enjoys spiritual bliss and remains the shelter of all devotees. Vishaya, Vigraha. And in his Lord Gauranga feature, Krishna tastes separation from Krishna in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. This ecstatic form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna is always the transcendental reservoir of all pleasure, and he is technically called Dhira Lalita. Srimati Radharani is the embodiment of spiritual energy personified as ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, only Krishna can touch her. The Dhira Lalita aspect is not seen in any other form of the Lord, including Vishnu and Narayan. Srimati Radharani is therefore known as Govinda Nandini and Govinda Mohini, for she is the only source of transcendental pleasure for Sri Krishna and the only person who can enchant his mind. So, very elementary level subject matter, right? the talks between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy are one of the five sections in Chaitanya Charitamrita that make up the primary shiksha of Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote his book Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Prabhupada wrote his book Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which are just summaries of these five sections, Lord Chaitanya's discussions with Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Ramananda Roy. And all of them are very elevated, and the most elevated, at least in terms of rasa tattva, the internal position of the mood of love of the devotee on this plane, the practitioner of devotee on this plane and on the spiritual plane. This is closing, in other words, what's being described here, the stages of love preceding this revelation. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy a question. And the question was, what's the goal of life and how to attain it? So he gave different answers. And each time Lord Chaitanya was prodding him, go further. And Ramananda Roy said, I've never gone further. You're making me speak. I'm the puppet and you're the puppeteer, and you're making my tongue move and say things because you want to hear this subject matter. And so you're just using me as an instrument, which is very nice. But it's beyond the limit of my knowing capacity, because the subject matter is so elevated. And it's right in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's most elevated subject matter. And after going higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, he then says to Lord Chaitanya, you're not a sannyasi, you're the personality of Godhead. And then this little section, oh, you're such this elevated devotee that you see everything in relation to Krishna. They're quoting this verse from the Gita, Gopi Gita, that section of the Bhagavatam, where in separation, the gopis are feeling such intense love for Krishna that they're seeing everything in relation to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya said, you're like that. You're seeing according to your transcendental ecstasies. And Ramananda Roy says, no, no, no. Don't deceive me like that. You are the personality of Godhead in the mood of Radha. And therefore your complexion is golden. But actually you're not golden, you're Krishna. He has this realization. That's not a speculation, perhaps, maybe. He has the realization. Then Krishna shows, or Lord Chaitanya shows him that form, Radha Krishna. Beautiful painting. Many beautiful paintings of that scene. Ramananda Roy loses consciousness. He's touched by Lord Chaitanya, immediately regains consciousness and falls flat before Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya confirms in these verses what Ramananda Roy understood and had said. What is Lord Chaitanya's very special position? Exactly Krishna himself. Very mysterious. Actually Krishna himself, at the same time, fully in the mood of Radharani, so much so that he forgets himself, except at this moment he's speaking, you know, from the position of This is who I am. I'm Krishna. And I'm tasting the happiness of Srimati Radharani. And at the same time, he's tasting the happiness of Krishna, whose happiness is derived through contact with Srimati Radharani. It's a super mysterious identity of the personality of Godhead. So come down a few thousand feet, and Prabhupada speaks about, and just in general, in establishing, there are persons who are atheists, and according to Krishna's teaching in Bhagavad Gita, those who say there is no God, avajananti mam mudha, or there are four types of impious people that never surrender to Krishna, and one who doesn't surrender to Krishna, one who is an atheist, he's of these different categories. Mayaya pratigyan asrim bhavamashrita. They're just this morning hearing Prabhupada speak like this, that as soon as we understand someone has not accepted God, then immediately we can understand they're in one of these four categories. Or the nature is a demoniac nature, averse to the position of God. So then go the other direction, persons that say that there is God. Then the next question is, using Prabhupada's language, then the next question is, who is God? He would speak like this with not only with devotees, but with Christians and people that were following some teaching, some faith. So, who is God? That's the next question. And to identify the position of God as the controller or the Almighty, He who is possessed of inconceivable, unlimited, innumerable potencies. That's the position or the post of God. And who is that? And according to one's faith, one may say, this is God or that is God. But not just one who has some great exhibition of power, because the demigods have great exhibition of power, or a mystic yogi may have great exhibition of power, not conceivable to an ordinary person, so they may think that that's God. But by definition, the cause of all causes, that's the Vedanta definition, that from which everything comes. We can't say that about a mystic yogi or a demigod. That from which everything comes. Everything matter, everything spirit. Fully, without exception, everything comes from the absolute truth. That's the position of God. And then that absolute truth position of God is a person. And our Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, He is that absolute truth, personality of Godhead, from which everything comes. And that's a very sublime teaching. Everything comes from a person. For those that are subjected to impersonal ways of thinking, like everywhere in the world, that's a nice idea. I mean, think about it. Everything comes from a person. How wonderful must that person be? Not just everything comes from a place, or everything comes from spirit, but even spirit, what to speak of matter, even spirit, comes from a person. So the whole spiritual material realm not only emanates from that Supreme Person, but there's some purpose of that person. And discovering and acting within, in harmony with that purpose of that Supreme Person, that's the awakening of the mood of service. Through the medium of service, then we can understand about the person. And that's the position of Ramananda Roy. He understood all of these things. These vastly learned personality in spiritual subject matters. In fact, that's what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's as if he needed to tell him anything. When you travel, meet Ramananda Roy. I used to think of him as, you know, a sentimentalist with all these different ideas of the personal feature of God. I was offensive in my mind. But now I can understand he's one of the most elevated persons on the planet. You'll be very happy meeting him. So Lord Chaitanya met him. And so understanding God as the supreme cause of everything and the supreme person who's the cause of everything. In one sense it makes a lot of sense, in another sense it's quite inconceivable. The fact that we have personality here and variety here, by logic, that from which personality and variety comes from must have personality and variety. Logical. Whatever is the emanation must be there in the source. And whatever is emanated must be there in the source of emanation. So if you have personality here, there must be personality in the Supreme. So it's quite logical. But then it's quite inconceivable that everything, the trees and the plants and the birds and the fish and the oceans and the mountains and the hills and the sky and space and unlimited planets, and you know, go out that direction and go down and down and down into the micro everything, and that's just on the material realm. And then in the spirit, everything comes from a person. I've been studying Sri Brahma Samhita, and the language of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he calls the medium-sized Krishna. Meaning, in contrast to Anor Aniyamsa Manusmaret Yaha, his body is so big. How do you even think of this? But his body is so big that from the pores of his body are coming universes. That's pretty big. Millions, unlimited, asankhyatai. You can't count them, there's so many universes streaming from his body, such a huge body. And then the smallest individual, smallest particle of matter that you can't divide it any further, he's within that. Bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest. So then he says, medium-sized. Besides the biggest and the smallest, human-like, that Krishna or Govinda, he's the source of everything. It's quite inconceivable. And it's inconceivable to understand that Ramananda Roy was looking at Lord Chaitanya and he understood, you are that. Quite inconceivable. And not only you are that, but the complexion that you have is not your real complexion. The complexion, what was Ramananda Roy's Krishna consciousness? What was he experiencing? your form is blackish, and the only reason you're appearing to be golden in color is because of your contact with Radharani, and only you, only Krishna, can contact Radharani. Radharani can't be contacted by anyone else. You are Krishna with a golden complexion because of contact with Radharani. Or this nice verse, that Srup Damodar's verse, that says that the Radha Krishna is actually one entity with two forms. And when that one entity with two forms becomes one form, that form is known as Chaitanyakyam. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srup Damodar understood, and Ramananda Roy understood, but not only understood, but then Lord Chaitanya revealed his form, Radha Krishna. Actually, Radha and Krishna, two forms in one form. My goodness, this is the highest. When you raise the question, okay, I accept that there must be God. Now, let us go to the next question. Who is God? Incredibly elevated conception of the personality of Godhead. So sublime, so wonderful, so deep and so profound. And how is one to enter into that deep, profound understanding, deep, deep mystery? The answer is by the process of devotional service itself. Only by the process of devotional service can one enter into that mystery. We can hear it. We're hearing it. And we can repeat it. We can hear it, repeat it, if there's some nice understanding. But the understanding largely is intellectual at best. Maybe just information, not even really intellectual, but intellectual at best. And the very sound vibration, reading and hearing these sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the sound vibration acts, it elevates one's consciousness. It certainly requires a degree of faith. But even hearing about the soul, what to speak of God, what to speak of further and further elevated conceptions of God, even to hear of the soul, it requires faith. And otherwise, how do we know the nature of the soul? Certainly there are people that don't believe in the soul. Certainly there are people that believe in the soul. But when they say they believe in the soul, what is it that they understand about that? What is the soul? My experience is not very much. Not very much. Something, but not very much. Very rudimentary and often even comical understanding of what the soul is. So this is beyond the position of the soul, the position of God, the nature of God, and different elevated, further and further refined conceptions of God. There isn't a higher conception. Not just an opinion. This is the way that Prabhupada has described the position of Chaitanya Charitamrita is Bhagavad Gita, which teaches about the soul and the position of the absolute truth as the definition of God, is described there in Bhagavad Gita. And that's the undergraduate study. Then the graduate study is more and more and more and more detail of the position of Krishna as the absolute truth and disclosing his form and pastimes. graduate study. Now here's the postgraduate study. That form of Krishna and his consort Radha is one entity, and that one entity forms, it's manifest in one form. So it's postgraduate study. They'll go back to something I said earlier. In one sense, it makes sense. I mean, that the absolute truth is a person, because otherwise how do we have person? There must be that which is the source of everything must be person. And persons have potencies, and therefore the absolute truth must also have potencies. So there's the potent and the potency. And as the absolute truth is person, the potency also is person, and there's a relationship between the potency and the potent. You know, logically you can just go like that, and it makes sense. Logically. But then to think of, again, Bhaktisiddhanta's language, a medium-sized person. As Krishna was appearing in the prison house of Kamsa, or doing any of the going in the forest, herding the calves with the cowherd, the calves and cows with the cowherd boys, and playing like a child, like a small boy will play with other small boys, playing and playing and playing in so many ways, and then killing demons and having lunch and just conducting activities as if he's one of us. And one can look at Krishna's activities and think like that, one of us. But to think in terms of his position as the personality of Godhead, who's enjoying his pastimes with his loving devotees. We say it all the time, but it's a very elevated understanding. And once again, to enter into that understanding, hearing, engaging in devotional service to Krishna, doing our devotional practices in a proper way, all these mysteries can be entered into and accessed beyond just, you know, the information side or the intellectual side, but enter into the experience of Krishna's pastimes by proper execution of devotional practices, becoming sufficiently purified and actually experiencing. So these literatures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, grant us access into that superlative realm, which can be tasted through the medium of proper chanting of Krishna's holy name. The opportunity that we're being given is, how do you properly, what adjective do you use to describe what the opportunity is that we've been given? A conventional one is awesome, it's awesome. It's most merciful. Even we're unqualified, that's that merciful our alternative or option is being given to us. And our appreciation can be very simple. Like I was discussing yesterday evening, my life is, the quality of my life is becoming better. I'm becoming a better person. I'm becoming more peaceful. I'm becoming less angry. I'm thinking in a compassionate way and less caught up with my mind and senses and greed and lust. And I'm being protected by this wonderful process. And so on. Those kinds of this level. A little bit of understanding of the eternal soul. A little bit of detachment from the temporal things of life and turmoil that's caused by them, caused by identifying with them. But further and further and further and further, depending upon the refined way in which we take up our devotional practices, that, you know, the opportunity is in our hand. And it, by the process of entering into the spiritual world, by proper practice in this plane of this part of our life, this portion of the soul's journey, we take it properly, full access is there, as much as we want, as much as you can handle. The full opportunity is there. It's amazing fortune that we have. Hare Krishna. Any questions or discussion? Yes.
I was thinking about this Bhaktisiddhanta saying the medium-sized Krishna. Is that kind of to make it more accessible to our little mind to be more...
Well, the language is... The language... Krishna does that, yes, to make it accessible. The language is specifically to contrast the unlimitedly great and the smaller than the smallest. It's a contrast. Medium size. Just to make that distinction. But yes, Krishna's appearing in that way makes Krishna more accessible and lovable. Since that's the target, that's the objective. Loving Krishna. When Krishna showed the universal form, it's not lovable. It's inspired fear. Not just awe, but fear in the heart of Arjuna. Please remove that form. Anything else? Yes.
I'm not sure, but Ramananda Roy was in, held a high position, leadership position, mm-hmm. government position.
He was governor.
So what is amazing is that,
what's that?
Even though he was governor, you know, involved in so many affairs, what is amazing that he was such highly advanced spiritual.
Yeah.
The general feeling is that if one is very much involved in materialistic things, it's very difficult to really advance spiritually. But in this case, it's, I don't know, it looks clear.
It's say the same thing that you're saying. To find somebody so spiritually advanced as was Ramananda Roy, where do you find such a person? In the world, anywhere, in any position. And so what to speak of finding such a person in a high government position? That's one of the last places that you'd think to look. In when visiting Puri, did you come with us to Puri? Upananda?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay. So when we went to Alalanath, remember the visit to Alalanath and the deity in Alalanath?
Actually, I wasn't.
You weren't there. Okay. Near, so Alalanath is the place where Lord Chaitanya went when Lord Jagannath, after having been bathed, went into seclusion, and being unable to see Lord Jagannath, his mood of separation was unbearable. So he left Puri. He didn't want to see Puri minus Jagannath. So he went to Alalanath, where there's a deity of Lord Vishnu, And near that Alalanath is the place where Ramananda Roy lived. And in the place where Ramananda Roy lived, there are articles that Ramananda Roy had, and one of them is a sword. I have pictures of Ramananda Roy's sword. I know paraphernalia. He was a Kshatriya. So Kshatriya kings, Maharaj Ambarish and Maharaj Yudhisthira and so many kings, pure devotees, perfected souls. Ramananda Roy was a perfected soul, born in the family of Kshatriya. But because he's an associate of Lord Chaitanya, he wasn't just an elevated person, he was an extraordinary person. And in that extraordinary position, not only could he do the duties of a governor and not lose it, his expertise in particular was the execution of dance and drama that would, by Vedic culture, there are systems whereby through dance and drama, ecstatic emotions of love for Krishna are aroused by that dance and drama. And he would personally attend to the dancing girls to prepare them for the mood and the appearance and everything for that which would awaken ecstatic love for Krishna in the audience. He was in the mood of the young gopis who were assisting the older gopis in preparing to attract the love for Krishna. You know the description. Most extraordinary. I mean, not worldly. So, direct associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, you know, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Who they are in their spiritual identity is incredible. But they were engaged in the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, having no interest in those things, but being very expert in those things. And then in turn, when they left that government post and went to Vrindavan, they still had that expertise, and therefore they were regarded by the people of Vraja as like a minister, like prime minister, because that was their qualification. And they cared for the people of Vraja in that way, and the people of Vraja loved him in that way. So, inconceivable. What to speak of associating with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, associating with the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What was that like for those that had that opportunity?
That's a follow-up question, Maharaj. How should devotees who are involved in materialistic activities, in a job situation, conduct ourselves so we can not be affected?
You're protected by your Krishna consciousness. So those things that awaken Krishna consciousness, do them very nicely. And then you're protected from the material atmosphere. In the Shiksha, the first of Shikshastakam verses, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam Bhava Mahata Vagni Nirvapanam, this Mahadavagni Nirvapanam is one of the qualifications that is bestowed, one of the qualifications bestowed upon the soul that chants Krishna's name properly. Not only the blazing fire of material existence is extinguished, but the ongoing contamination of being in the material atmosphere, which is like a blazing forest fire, one is protected from, even being in the midst of it. So one becomes cleansed, cheta dharpa namarjanam, and then in that cleansed condition, go back into the material atmosphere, one is protected further, bhava maha davagni nirvapanam, from becoming again contaminated or further contamination by exposure to materialistic people in a materialistic atmosphere. It's the protection of the holy name. And certainly, faith is required. The potency of the holy name acts regardless of one's faith. But to receive the full benefit, like open the heart and receive the descending mercy that's coming through the holy name, faith is opens the heart. And then the protection is there. The fullness of protection is there. So then it's not a matter of, okay, I'll cleanse myself, then I'll go out into the material atmosphere, get all muddied up and dirtied up, and then come back and take a bath again. But even in the midst of that atmosphere, remain uncontaminated, unaffected. That's big time. But that's the power of the holy name. And to say the power of the holy name, that implies the things that flow from the chanting of the holy name that are also supportive to the purificatory power of the holy name, like reading of the scripture and following the message of the scripture that flows from the chanting of the holy name, the inclination to hear more about Krishna, and the proper situation for the soul in the material atmosphere. In other words, theistic conduct. How do I live my life? How do I eat? How do I walk? How do I work? How do I live? How do I interact socially? How do I, the intelligence guiding the soul's movement through material atmosphere is within the scripture. But one can hear it, receive it, assimilate it, starting from the proper chanting of the holy name. Everything starts from proper chanting of the holy name. So my point is, and everything that flows from that, like deity worship, like serving the devotees, etc., everything flows from proper chanting of the holy name. Hearing and chanting of the holy name, everything flows from that. So to say, proper shelter of the holy name implies, etc., beginning with the chanting of the holy name and everything that flows from that, the natural sequence. Something else? Yes?
Maharaj, here about Sushi Govindkai or Gauranga, about the mood that they are in. In order to, I heard sometimes that the body is trying to don't disturb the mood, the Lord Chaitanya is, as a devotee, and at the same time, it's the personality of Godhead and the combined form. To make the mood of Radharani. So, how should we approach Lord Chaitanya?
Depends on your consciousness, how you approach Lord Chaitanya. Isn't it? Supposing somebody is new, just fresh coming in to a temple, how are they to regard Lord Chaitanya? That's one way. And then you can give other positions and other positions depending upon one's consciousness. That's how one regards. You don't imitate Ramananda Roy. That's not recommended. But Ramananda Roy will regard Lord Chaitanya differently than the person that's coming into the temple for the first time, and you know, and all the spectrum in between. So my answer is according to one's consciousness. That's how we were to regard. For us, just say, like, you know, a general, reasonable, playing field kind of response is we regard Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda just as Rupa Goswami spoke. Namo Mahavada Nyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna and Krishna Chaitanya Yamane Gaura Trishe Namaha. Like that. The most munificent, who's wishing to bestow what no other incarnation ever even offered before, love of God in the highest condition. Most munificent. And so that means he wants us to receive and he wants us to assist him in distributing to others. That's a you know, nice position. Work on that for a couple of decades and make it nice and clean. Yes.
I have a question, but it's slightly off topic.
I'm used to it.
What the in connection with the material designations?
Material
designations.
Designations.
Yeah, like a practical thing is when I go for book distribution, and then I share the experience with some in a report or to some devotees. They commented that when I see I met an Indian, I met an American, or I met a Muslim like that. I should not be seeing like that because we are trying to practice going beyond body. So how do you practice that?
On the one hand, but on the other hand, supposing you didn't see them according to how they see themselves and you just pretended like they saw themselves as spirit soul, which they don't, and you tried to relate to them in a way that they don't relate to themselves, that there's a disconnect, you know, what's with you, man? But if you relate to them, not identifying them as that, but from how they see themselves, in other words, you become relatable to a person, they're going to be far more likely to pay attention to what your message is. You go over to the other side of the bridge and greet the other personality, and befriend them, you know, however quickly that's done, and then invite them to take one step on the bridge heading good from the other direction. Far more likely they'll want to go. So the purpose of it's service oriented to report as you described. I met someone like this, and so their interaction was like this. I met someone like that, our interaction was like that, and so forth. It's practical. It's service-oriented practical. Now, we wish to see them as spirit-soul while we're interacting with them in these other ways. If we're carrying that Krishna conscious soul to soul with our common master Krishna consciousness while we're relating on, you know, a platform that makes it easy for them to relate. It'll be more effective. Certainly Prabhupada did like that with different personalities who he interacted with. And he said, Narada Muni did like that. Anyone that's going to be effective will do like that. And they may very well, in some occasions, just completely override that for whatever inspiration from Supersoul or something, to just lift somebody, you know, high speed to the very elevated level of discussion. But then that's Krishna's indication. That's the exception. Yes.
What are the signs of an imposter? I mean, sometimes you think that, you know, you sort of spiritually progress, and then you don't know whether you're an imposter or...
Well, there's a number of signs. One is, here's three of them. The message is the message of disciplic succession. Then their behavior matches their message. So if there's discrepancy between the message of disciplic succession or their message and their behavior, those are immediately imposter positions.
How do you catch yourself? Like say, not others, but how do you catch yourself becoming an imposter?
Well, same standard. If you're called upon to address something and you don't know, then say you don't know. Then, you know, gobbledygook. Because it sounds good, or you don't want to be embarrassed to say, I don't know. And then the other is the thing that you know, you do. At least you try to do. You try to consistently do. I recognize I am not a perfect person. However, I know what our standards are, and I'm sincerely trying to conform to those standards. And if I'm not sincerely trying, we all know what that is, sincere and insincere. And if I'm sincerely trying some things, there are other things I just overlook. That's an imposter. I want to make a good, you know, show. And, you know, privately there's something else going on. That's how we can check ourselves. And we could say reasonably, for the most part, everyone does what I just said. We like to look good. So we do certain things externally, and there's something that we don't show. It's not the non-imposter is one that hangs out their dirty laundry. Here, see, there's dirty laundry. But at least, you know, in our addressing ourselves, we don't, you know, pretend that it's not there. We're working on trying to free ourselves from those things that are not according to what the teachings are that we know, the standards that are there, that are recommended for us. We're sincerely working on getting there and doing the things that will help us get there. Anything from the ladies' side? Okay, thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai.